Hello and welcome back to Joe's Art History Bite Size, small, manageable podcast episodes, which sees me, Joe McLaughlin, your host and your resident art historian, deep dive into a specific artwork or artist in 10 minutes or less. This week we take a look at the phenomenal Singaporean British sculptor and printmaker, Tim Lim. Let's get started. So before we get started, I just wanted to point out that the content for this episode has been taken from research and writing done for an article that I was commissioned to do in 2021 for Sprout Magazine by Claire Dalkeish, who is their editor and their commissioner. So many thanks to Claire for allowing me to revive the contents of this article and to share with you the brilliant story of a phenomenally underrated and overlooked artist, Tim Lim. Tim Lim is not the first female artist to slip through the cracks within the canon of art history, and she certainly is not the last. Kim herself, although an incredibly talented and prolific maker in her lifetime, fell fate to being sidelined by historians as the wife of British artist William Turnbull. Thankfully, however, this is changing. More than 20 years after her death, Kim Lim's work is slowly emerging to take its rightful place in the spotlight alongside her contemporaries, thanks to a select few who have fiercely fought for her recognition. Born and raised in Singapore, a determined 17-year-old Kim travelled alone to London to study art at the renowned St. Martin's Art School in 1953. There, she fell under the tutelage of iconic British sculptor Sir Anthony Carroll in 1954. Like most who studied under Carroll at this time, Kim was encouraged to explore a vast range of materials within her practice before transferring to the Slade School of Fine Art in 1956 to concentrate on her love of carving and printmaking. Throughout her career in the UK, Kim refused to be othered as a foreign artist living and working in London. This no doubt inspired her famous refusal to exhibit in an exhibition entitled The Other Story at London Haworth Gallery in 1989. The exhibition was put on to highlight works of African and Asian artists working in post-war Britain. Kim's resistance to be pigeonholed in such a way speaks volumes of her strength and character, as well as her self-belief, that in order for her art to be interesting, her heritage had nothing to do with it. Kim met and married fellow artist William Turnbull in 1960. The two began building their life together in London, where Kim settled permanently. Her first solo exhibition took place in London in 1966, and she began exhibiting her work extensively throughout the UK, Singapore, and abroad. During her life, Kim's dedication to exhibiting was extensive, and a list of which can be found on her website. And I'll leave a link to that in the show notes below. Should you follow the link in the show notes below to her extensive list of exhibitions and shows that she had, a lack of work and willingness to exhibit is clearly not the reason behind her marginalisation and sidelining within the history of art and the art world. Kim's canon can be divided into two distinct periods. From 1950 to 1970, she embarked on a sculptural exploration of bronze, brass, wood and fibreglass. During this period, she also had a rich printmaking experimentation practice. Kim's prints evolved around linear exploration. Her Bridge series is an excellent example of the power and simplicity within her work. After her mid-career retrospective at the Roundhouse in London in 1979, Kim's focus turned to carving in stone and marble, which became the crux of her work until she sadly passed away in 1997. The beauty and simplicity of form which Kim moulded throughout her life's work is unceasing. Her pieces draw you in and allow you to stay for as long as you need before moving on with a feeling of peace and enrichment. Kim's stonework in particular is something to marvel at. Its tactile nature is undeniable. Her love of Romanian artist Constantin Brâncuși and passion for truth to materials is evident in her simplistic organic carvings. And when we say truth to materials, and when you hear truth to materials, that basically means that the material itself is left to be on show. It's not covered by a patina or a wax or some sort of paint or colouring. If it's stone, the stone is left carved and the material is there for you to see. If it's carved in wood, The wood isn't treated or hidden behind a colour. It's there for you to see and appreciate the material. Now, interestingly, Kim never worked with assistants, preferring everything to be made by her hand, much the same attitude as her husband. Both had separate studio spaces within the family home. Their two sons, Alex and Johnny, who now run the estates of both mother and father, remember their mother as always working and carving in the garden. Throughout her lifetime, Kim's presence on the British art scene was wide and impactful, standing out as a female sculptor in a male-dominated space. Yet she all but disappeared from the narrative when she passed away in 1997. Knowing what we know, would it be naive to consider two factors that made it all too easy for Kim to slip into the margins? These being, she's female and she was foreign. Kim took great care of the work she made. Her estate now holds incredibly rare works from the 1950s and 60s in near perfect condition. Storage and collection care are often at the bottom of an artist's agenda and to-do list, especially for those who prefer to look forward into their making practices rather than reflecting on what's already been done. And as someone who has worked with many, many artists in their 60s, 70s and 80s, they have absolutely no such thing as an archive or the foresight to think about how their legacy will be impacted in the importance of recording works as you do them. This was not the case for Kim Lim, who meticulously recorded and cared for each work. Sadly, Kim suffered an early death at the age of 61. Now, some 20 plus years after her death, Kim Lim's life and work is receiving its rightful recognition. Her sudden recognition is an accumulation of elements, not least the dedication of her two sons who run the estate, but a number of selected institutions and researchers who have been wise enough to allow their inquisitive minds to dig deeper to uncover something the art world was in danger of losing sight of. 2020 saw Tate Britain dedicate an artist spotlight room to Kim Lim's early sculpture and prints following on from a selling exhibition at Sotheby's S2 Gallery in 2018. Each institution played its part in encouraging art lovers and collectors alike to reevaluate Kim's importance and place within art history. Now, as I mentioned, this is very much a whistle-stop tour of the life and works of Kim Lim, and I would thoroughly encourage everyone listening to this to look at the show notes and go away and follow the links, do some reading, but most importantly, there is a fantastic hour-long podcast episode on a great podcast series called Sculpting Lives, and I'll leave a link in the show notes below to that episode. It's phenomenal, and Sarah and Joe, who run that podcast, interview Kim's sons, the curator of the estate, all sorts of people that have been involved in the Tate and Sotheby's in these exhibitions that I very briefly mentioned. And it's a phenomenal episode that you will not regret listening to, and you'll learn way, way more than in just 10 minutes. You have been listening to Joe's Art History Podcast Bite Size, small, manageable episodes which sees me, Joe McLaughlin, your resident host and art historian, deep dive into a specific artwork or artist in 10 minutes or less. If you have enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like, rate and subscribe as it helps other listeners find us. If you want to support the podcast, why not leave us a review or tell someone you know who may enjoy listening all about it. If you would like to support the future of the podcast, please consider purchasing and gifting me a book from my Amazon wishlist included in the show notes below. If you would like to get in touch, please feel free to do so. It'd be lovely to hear from you. You can email me, joesarthistory@gmail.com, or you can find me via Instagram, which is @joesarthistory, or you can search for my name, Joe McLaughlin, and you'll find me that way too. Finally, I've been your host and your resident art historian, Joe McLaughlin, and thank you so much for listening. Keep learning, and remember, art is for all, even in bite-sized editions. See you next time. Bye.